If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
What business needs to understand is that those who are peddling all the different woke causes out there, they don't like business. They're essentially anti-market. They're essentially anti-private enterprise. They're essentially anti-property rights.
All conversations about marriage and family should begin with, what about the kids? All policy conversations that have to do with marriage and family should begin with, what are the rights of children? How can we protect those rights?
Because in order to be a cultural Marxist, there's some of the key doctrines of the Christian faith that you would have to give up. Creation, redemption, original sin.
The question really is do we have the text so close that we actually know what the authors originally meant? And the answer to that is yes, we do.
Tea drinking friends, love Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the second hour of the program on this Thursday, March the 4th, we're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. The comment line, 618-223-8382. As always, you can feel free to call and join the conversation. Our in-studio phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. And you can also send us a tweet at IssuesETC.
We have 1 hour of listener email and Issues Etc. comment line in front of us, a rather daunting task.
We used to do this kind of thing standing on our heads.
Well, we were much younger then.
Yes. Well, yeah, we were half the age we are now, practically. Well, not half the age, but almost half the age we are now. I mean, Craig was still in diapers at the time, and we used to do 3 hours sometimes with no net.
Are you serious?
Just
you
really a pile of paper.
You really think we didn't do 3 hours of just email comment?
No.
We played audio. We do like audio open lines.
We do audio open lines.
An NPR story and ask people to chime in.
We would just go through and grab as much any tangentially related religion topics we possibly could. I had a stack of stuff that was ready to be read. And that was back in the days when in terrestrial radio, when you gave out the phone numbers, people actually called. Because it was, and you see the same thing in like sports radio, that nobody calls sports radio anymore. They don't. They text sports radio now. They just take texts from people because people don't pick up the phone and call each other anymore. But I remember, you know, having maybe an hour of guests, and then it's like for the rest of the afternoon, it's audio open lines.
Right. So this would be a great time for those of you who have been clamoring for more interaction with us.
Why you would want to interact with us, I don't know, but
Wilkin is much brighter than you might think. So if you've ever wanted to like stump the pastor or anything, live this Thursday afternoon, March the 4th, would be a great opportunity. Our phone number, 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. We can talk about mindless banter. We can talk Cardinals baseball with you. We could talk half-calf Craig Feichtinger. We could talk all kinds of things because we have 1 hour to fill.
Folks. Oh, see, speaking of Cardinals baseball, this is baseball in a nutshell. 2 days ago, this is Grapefruit League. They played a scoreless game. In spring training, you can end with scoreless games and end with ties. They had a scoreless game. Yesterday, the Cardinals scored 14 runs. That's baseball in a nutshell.
Yes, it is. And that's why you can't. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I used to work on the Casas Coast to Coast show. The late owner of the New York Yankees, George Steinbrenner, came from a professional football background. But then he buys a baseball team. Well, professional football, probably back then you played 12, 14 games a year, and I think now the NFL is like 16 games.
16 games.
When you lose a game and you got a 12-game season, for it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But when you lose a game and you play 162 games a year, not so big a deal. But that's how it was explained on a Costas Coast to Coast episode by the owner being so temperamental after one loss.
Yeah, he couldn't.
And firing managers willy-nilly.
I never put that together with him. So he expected that these games weighted like they would, say, in the NFL because there are only 16 games in a season. That's what he was thinking.
Yeah, he grew up with the football atmosphere, and he kind of took that same mindset into baseball, which you just can't. You'd go mentally insane. I understand we do have a caller. Craig's telling us we have a caller. You're on Issues Etc. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Jeff. This is Jeff from 75 Degree Sunny Tampa.
Oh, Jeff, we met you down at the LCMS convention, my friend. Oh, how I wish I was in Tampa.
Yes, it was a day I'll never forget myself. Okay, so one of the best guests on Issues Etc. is Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. And I've always wondered why Pastor Wilkin always pronounces his name Wolf Miller. Is that like a thing?
No, it's not a thing. It's just, okay, I'll tell you why. I had a very good friend, and he was my district president for a long time, and he was first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for, 10 years before his untimely death. Herb Miller. Spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R. He pronounced it Miller. That's the actual German way of pronouncing it, the German anglicized way of pronouncing that word. It's an umlaut there in German. So he pronounced it Miller. And so when we came across Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, I see it spelled W-O-L-F-M-U-E-L-L-E-R. And I just applied the same rule, which is pronounce it the way I've always pronounced that particular name. I got parishioners who have that name. And so I call him Pastor Wolf Miller. He calls himself for some, I don't know why. I've even talked to his father about this. He calls himself Brian Wolfmuller. And I know you can pronounce it that way, but I just feel the need to correct him every single time.
So you're saying this is just an editorial decision by the host to mispronounce a guest name?
Well, what I'm saying is you don't get to decide how your name is pronounced. Everyone mispronounces your name all the time. I mean, we have guests that, and Jeff never corrects them because he's a good producer. It's Jeff Schwartz.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
It's Black,
there's no
German.
T. There's no T in there. But he gets called Schwartz all the time, and he never corrects anybody. And you know, so no one gets to decide how their name is pronounced. I get called Pastor Wilkins. I don't correct people.
But
so I'm doing it.
Pastor Wolfmuller has never corrected you, has he?
No, he has never corrected me.
And how many years do we go with our movie critic, Pastor Ted Giese? We used to call him Giese. Before the polite gentleman north of the border,
very sheepishly,
that it's geese. I said, it's okay. You could, you know, it's okay. You're not going to hurt our feelings.
And he asked, and we corrected it. So now on every single show sheet where Ted Geese is listed, Jeff spells it like the birds, the plural of the birds, Ted Geese, because he knows that it's very hard to break old habits. And I'm an old dog, and it's hard to teach new tricks. So now, maybe if you started writing Pastor Brian Wolf Mueller with two O's or something.
M-Y-O-O, is
yeah,
that how you think?
Something like that. I would do it. But I think that would distract the listeners then. So
I just want to thank.
By the way, every time I say Pastor Brian Wolf Mueller, I think I'm mispronouncing this name, or at least according to him, I'm mispronouncing his name. I don't think it hurts him.
Thanks to Jeff in Tampa. You just took up 5 minutes of open lines here. So anybody else care to chime in? 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. That in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Richard writes, could you please change the picture on the podcast number 0572, Woke Public School Teaching Requirement? I am sure there is a better picture that could be used. No further comments are needed or necessary. Thanks for the feedback, Richard.
And the picture was changed as soon as we got the...
Tell the listeners what the picture...
I think the picture was of a school teacher standing...
Overweight and very tight clothing.
Yeah, but it was a picture from a real school where a school teacher was holding a seminar and she was standing next to a whiteboard that said, all white people are racist. And because the subject was woke education, I made that decision to put that picture there. I went ahead and put that picture there. To me, it didn't, you know, cause any stir that there was an overweight woman in the picture, but it was, you know, if it bothers the listeners, then we can find other pictures. And I found a different one.
And on that vein, here's a similar comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Paul in Milwaukee commenting on the improved program offering list on the website, which now includes a picture applicable to the program listed. It is well that IE has donation funds to add this feature. More giving, better program. However, regarding program 0613, Solomon asked for wisdom of February 2. I was puzzled by seeming ambiguities of the picture, evidently a painting. Name of artist and location of painting could lead the curious to more information pursued on their own. Is Solomon in the picture turning down wife candidate number 738 being inspected far left and offered by the crowned Queen of Sheba in her revelatory costume? If not, my fallen mind turns to the two women disputants, their dress advertising their traditional trade, and arguing before the king as to who gets the live baby. Something else? Can you help? Thanks for consideration.
It's a rather famous painting of King Solomon.
I looked it up. Do you want me to tell you this?
Yeah.
It's called Throne of Solomon, and it was painted by Edward Poynter in 1890.
And it's a picture of Solomon descending from his throne in his royal chamber, walking toward the Queen of Sheba, who is presenting him with gifts. And it went with the Sunday school lesson we were teaching with Pastor Tom Baker, because part of what Tom led us into was that the wisdom of Solomon was so widely known and fabled that it even attracted the Queen of Sheba to come and see if he was as wise as she had heard. And she says, I had not been told the half of it. So I picked that particular picture there to... I actually went through a couple of the famous ones where the splitting the baby ones. Every single painting I could find of that incident had a big brawny kind of royal guard with a sword in his hand holding the baby by his feet. So, and I just thought, I know that's why they do that, but I thought I'd rather have the Queen of Sheba than a guard holding the baby by the feet.
And we're experimenting with Adobe Stock and Shutterstock, some other royalty services for photos. I do think it's important to mention that I don't know what the percentage is of people who actually go to the website to listen, but it's very, very small. People usually listen on their favorite podcast provider there. But it is good in an age of social media if you can share the file that actually has the picture. That was actually suggested to us by Anna Mussman, who writes for The Federalist, a young mother.
Yeah, we had to wait for kind of a revamping of the website, which we did, to be able to do that.
So if you share a certain way, it kind of catches people's attention on social media.
So yeah, because it's a visual medium. On the other side of the break, a little more email. And some, have we even read an email? Yeah, we've read an email. And the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line, 618-223-8382. And the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Stay tuned. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Superstition is the belief that one event caused an unrelated event. It's often tied up with false beliefs about God and how He works in the world. Is there really such a problem with superstitions? Is there really such a problem with saying, knock on wood or good luck? Explore this and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. We will talk about scientism, superstition, New Age, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is LCMS missionary Pastor John Bombaro. The Coeur d'Alene area in North Idaho has a new confessional parish committed to the Lutheran liturgy, excellence in biblical teaching, and faithful pastoral care. Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church of Hayden, Idaho, meets at 9 a.m. for our Augsburg Academy and 10 a.m. for the Divine Service of Holy Communion, at which we encounter the real voice and real presence of Jesus Christ. For our location or to join the growing family of Lutherans dedicated to the sacraments, confessions, and historic liturgy, visit BlessedSacramentLutheranChurch.com.
Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crucem's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crucem has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The Issues Etc. book of the month for March is A Simple Explanation of Easter. It's a little booklet that comes in packs of 20. It's perfect for putting out in the narthex at church. And it is what it says. It's A Simple Explanation of Easter. It answers the basic questions about Easter. If you want to know why Christians celebrate it, how they celebrate it, it's all in there. A Simple Explanation of Easter. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's see what Tina in Watertown, Wisconsin has to say. Hi, Tina.
Hi, and I want to thank you for getting my Christian library up and going, because I've been able to order several of the books that you've discussed or interviewed the author, and I found them so helpful. Thank you. Yes, but my question is, I have a very dear Lutheran friend, very faithful, that it is not right, it's against God's will, that he would be able to vote for a pro-life candidate. He knows the subject very well. He acknowledges that it is murder, but he feels that that if it's just one issue, it shouldn't really matter.
All right.
I just have a time getting across.
Tina, thank you very much. Well, okay. I think there are rare instances when voting for a pro-choice candidate would be something that a Christian could do in good conscience. Very rare instances. We've actually talked about this with Scott Klusendorf, who's debated other pro-lifers on this. Scott's argument is, look, you have to, when you're choosing between two pro-choice candidates, and if those are your only choices, you choose the one that does the least damage to the pro-life cause. There are pro-choice candidates who are not adamantly pro-choice. That's why we have like scores from National Right to Life and things like that on a lot of these candidates and lawmakers. But those are rare instances. To say that abortion is simply one issue among many, as though it is that there's no priority among these issues, doesn't make a lot of sense, given the nature of what abortion is and what abortion does to the unborn. It takes an innocent human life that has the ability to project abortion to a higher priority than other issues. It's not that we are one issue voters, but there is one issue that must take priority over other issues. And that is the protection of the unborn. This is actually commanded by God that in the fifth commandment, we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in any way or cause him to be hurt or harmed in any way. And who you elect can cause great harm. So the protection of the unborn is, this is how Father Richard John Newhouse used to say, while it is one among many issues, it is of a different, greater caliber than other issues for Christians when it comes to who they vote for and how they vote, because it involves the protection of human life, which is of a greater priority than other things like whether you frack for oil, how much taxes you pay. Those things may be important in a civic sense, but we have a command from God to protect our neighbor, and that command makes the issue of abortion a bigger issue, a more important and an overriding issue ordinarily for Christian voters. Kathy is listening in St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to call and just let you guys know that LPR, the music side of it, is such a help for us. We have, as you know, Pastor Todd, a son with special needs, and he's profoundly disabled with many different issues, and sensory issues are one of them. He does benefit from music, although we did try music therapy, and of course everything that we tried, it never seemed to help, it made it worse, but this particular hymnody, he finds it very calming, so when he visits, we play LPR before he walks in the door. I make sure it's on, and then when he's here, it seems to calm him. We seem to have less silent behaviors. He does not like the organ's music, but he's started to like the chime music, the opera. He loves the hymns. The organ music, though, I always have to turn off. He will let me know he doesn't like it. But I just wanted to thank you because it really helps our visits to be more enjoyable for him and for me. Because he has his violent behavior just plummets when that music is playing.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much. And it's very gratifying to know that we can help in that small way with your son. She's talking about our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. You can find it at lutheranpublicradio.org on Amazon Alexa, Google Home, and the LPR mobile app. It's sacred music for the world 24/7, and it follows the course of the church year.
Kathy in St. Charles, Missouri, probably remembers some of those 3 hours of audio open lines from 20 years ago. She's been with us for a while, so thank you. And give Nate a big, big, big hug from me. And keep sending me pictures.
What's next?
I was hoping Craig's going to tell us we had another phone call.
No.
Craig's just waiting to answer your calls. 877-623-MY-IE.
I thought the whole next segment we were going to talk St. Louis sports. We got a lot of baseball to talk about, but I know we can fill at least a segment and a half or two maybe with Blues hockey.
No, we did. No, we're not going to do that.
That's St. Louis Blues for people that don't live in St. Louis.
Come on, everybody should know that, Jeff.
This is Eric. He writes, Dear Issues, etc. staffs, since I don't know who actually reads these the first time around, well, that's me, and it's not as soon as it should be. I have one quick question. For the sake of keeping your podcast orderly, you only need to quote the following during your show. You frequently have guests on the show from a different denominational backgrounds. Is there ever any awkwardness when someone from a non-Lutheran background joins you? I would imagine that someone from a different confessional or non-confessional background might have their guard up when talking with the staunch Lutheran paladin, Pastor Todd Wilkin. Paladin. Have you ever been called a paladin?
Not since my Dungeons and Dragons days. No.
What is a paladin?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right. Maybe somebody could call and fill some airtime and let us know. Or does your reputation for even-handedness prevail? I pray that God would preserve the mission, outreach of Issues, etc. for as long as my ears can listen to it. Eric with a K. And then he says, postscript, I hope that there has been some reconciliation in the office after the Coffeegate scandal of 2021, and he puts a trademark by Coffeegate. Thanks for listening, Eric.
Well, we do have a lot of non-Lutheran guests, and that's because when we choose guests, we prioritize them for expertise, and I'll have a little bit more to say on that in just a second. But no, there really, I can't recall any awkwardness. I regularly interview Roman Catholics, and I think just going through today's guests that we've had so far, Katie Faust, I believe, is some kind of a Baptist. I'm not sure. She might be non-denominational, but I think she's mentioned being married to a Baptist pastor, so she's probably a Baptist. Margot Cleveland is a Roman Catholic, if I'm not mistaken. And we had a Lutheran guest in there with Tiffany Manor. But we prioritize expertise when it comes to non-theological topics. And even when we're doing theological topics, we still prioritize expertise. But of course, if we're going to talk about, say, the Book of Mark, we're not going to bring on a Roman Catholic to do that. Now, occasionally we'll do interviews with people where they are not Lutheran, but they bring an expertise to some subject like the Bible. I'm thinking here about Dr. Craig Evans. He is probably a Baptist. I'm not sure about that, but he teaches at Houston Baptist Seminary. So that doesn't mean necessarily he's a Baptist, but he probably is. But his expertise is unparalleled in the subject of the manuscripts of texts and things like that. I kind of think about it this way. If I need someone to preach at my church, I will call a fellow Lutheran pastor. If I want to talk about constitutional law and marriage or religious freedom, I'll have Jeff call Robert George. Robert George is a Roman Catholic. Notwithstanding, he is one of the preeminent minds in the United States, perhaps in the world, on the issues of marriage and religious freedom as they relate to the Constitution. So we prioritize expertise there, and we really just don't have any awkwardness to speak. The most awkward it ever gets is when a Terry Mattingly seems kind of inappropriately curious about Lutherans. And he will always remind us that he's Eastern Orthodox, used to be a Baptist, became Eastern Orthodox, but he seems very curious about Lutherans and things Lutheran, but it's not awkward. It's just
well, you just like, because you just don't, it's not comfortable when somebody asks you the question. You're the host, right? And so he throws it back to you. Well, what do Lutherans have to say about that?
Right. So I'm just not used to being asked questions. So, but you know, he's a reporter, and his job is to ask questions. He does a great job of answering them too. So I like to think about it this way. On most subjects we discuss, good theology is no substitute for expertise. If Ryan Anderson is the preeminent thinker on
transgenderism,
he's a Roman Catholic, we're still going to have him on. Now, one thing we do formatically is that most of the time we pre-record these interviews. People don't realize this. Most of the show is pre-recorded because we have the time, we have the studios, and because we need to accommodate ourselves to the guest schedule then rather than them to us. And it helps us get better guests. The better guests are harder to get. You have to go when they're ready to go, and we very often do. There have been many times I've come in to the studio, and Jeff says, it's usually Robert George. I'm waiting on Robert George, and when he's ready, he's going to call us, and we just drop everything that we're doing, even if we're in the middle of another interview, and we do that interview because that's when he can do the interview with us. And so good theology is no substitute for expertise on a lot of these subjects, and I just can't recall it being awkward. They know we're Lutheran. They know we're a confessionally conservative Lutheran. That usually is a good foot in the door with a lot of our guests. And people just don't want to necessarily pick a fight about it. We have done interviews where we have compared and contrasted. I think about a series of interviews that we did with Kim Riddlebarger, who is a Presbyterian. But we've talked with him about the differences between Lutherans and Calvinists. We've done those occasionally. Sometimes we do the Let the Horse Speak interviews where it is technically a hostile interview, where by the time the interview is over with, the guest is fully aware that we have been letting them say their piece, but we completely disagree with them. And we just like our listeners to hear the very best guest they can possibly hear. And no offense to Lutheran pastors, but I don't know of any Lutheran pastor who's really an expert on anything except Lutheran theology and practice.
And not that we take false teaching lightly that you mentioned. That's one of the reasons why we pre-record. And if there is something, we will take it out, or if it's a live interview, we will take it out for our on-demand podcast listeners, which represents about 99% of the people who listen to us.
And that happens so rarely that we have to actually take something out. But we do listen for it, and if it's a questionable thing, we will just do a little editing.
Quick question from Nicholas. Are there any plans for an in-person Issues, etc., Making the Case conference in 2021?
Yes, in fact, there is. And we have just announced both our speaking lineup and our dates, which are July 23rd and 24th this coming summer at Concordia University in Chicago, River Forest, as they used to call it. And among the guests are, Jeff, do you have the list in front of you? You should.
Well, I got it in my head. Mark and Molly Hemingway. Mark, of course, of Real Clear Investigations. Molly Hemingway, the Federalist and Fox News. Robert George of Princeton University. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Wolfmiller One. Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And a possible player to be named later.
Yes, if we're hoping a player to be named later. Now, if you want to register, and registering early will save you $15 off the regular price for $135, which includes three meals, we can at this point only guarantee in person for 100 people. But the first 100 people to register will be guaranteed an in-person spot. That being possible, and that's up to Concordia University Chicago, and that number may go up, but we have no guarantee that it will go up. So the very first 100 people to register at $135, which is our early bird rate, will get an in-person spot there at our upcoming Issues, Etc., Making the Case conference, July 23rd and 24th.
And these are always lay sensitive. That's why we have it on Friday evening and Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. So that's Friday evening, July 23rd, Saturday morning and afternoon, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You can also call Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, 618-223-8385, or issuesetc.org.
When we come back, we'll be going through a little more listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. And feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE.
As easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Whedon at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is $135. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois; Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio; Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico; St. John Lutheran, Paulina, Iowa; St. Paul Lutheran, Irvine, California; and Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, March the 4th, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Feel free to give us a call live, 1-877-623-MYIE.
Keith resides in Springfield, Pennsylvania, and he writes, "Hi, Todd and Jeff. First, I am an avid podcast listener to Issues Etc. Thank you very much. And I love the variety of Christ-centered content. I was reading my Lutheran study Bible in 2 Chronicles and read the notes for chapter 19 from Luther, in which he discusses the differences between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world and the role of the kingdom of the world. In that discussion, Luther says that the kingdom of the world is a real precursor of hell and everlasting death." That's a quote, by the way. Real precursor of hell and everlasting death. "I thought this might make for an interesting discussion on Issues Etc. If the role of the kingdom of the world is one of wrath and severity to restrain the wicked and protect the good, it seems that we are in a place where people call good evil and evil good, a place very different than restraining the wicked and protecting the good. Is this then the real precursor of hell and everlasting death that Luther discusses? Thanks for your consideration, and thank you for listening in Pennsylvania, Keith."
Well, Keith, you may be discovering that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther had a tendency to overstate and exaggerate from time to time, which is why Lutherans subscribe to the Lutheran Confessions, those confessional documents, the Book of Concord in 1580, and not to everything Luther may have said or not said. So what makes a Lutheran is not simply that they kind of believe or agree with the things that Martin Luther said, but that they adhere to what was confessed in the Book of Concord in 1580 by both Luther. He wrote significant portions of it, but the other reformers as well. And this is a case where Luther probably is exaggerating for effect, where he's contrasting the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of the world, because Luther certainly does point out elsewhere that God acts in, he has not left this world to its own devices, but he acts in this world through, primarily through civil government, in order to restrain evil and to promote good. And that happens through parents. It happens through civil government. And God is actively doing this. Luther often will say, you know, if God weren't doing this, if he were to withdraw his protection, in particular from Christians, we wouldn't be left with a stick, you know, two sticks to rub together, so to speak, because the devil would immediately rob us all of all these things, because he desires our death and our misery. He's a thief, and he has come only to kill and destroy, as Jesus says. So God is actively restraining evil in this world, even when it looks like he's not. So what we really ought to marvel at, especially in these evil days, is how gracious and patient God is being with us and with the unrepentant world in restraining this evil to protect us and to protect all people. And as bad as it looks, it could be worse. And you're quite right. We've always, as Christians, lived in an age where good is called evil and evil is called good. We're in this gaslighting age in our modern, postmodern context today, where not only is good called evil and evil is called good, people are trying to convince us that that's what everyone has always believed all along, instead of, you know, only 15 minutes ago deciding that this particular evil is actually a good and this particular good is actually an evil. Christians ought to be used to this. We've been prepared by Scripture to live in this world where, although God restrains evil, evil often appears to have the upper hand, that Christians and their ideas and their voices often are silenced. We ought to be used to this. It's very difficult to live with it, especially in the American context where we had a honeymoon, or we thought we had a honeymoon with the culture up until about the mid-20th century. The honeymoon was an illusion, but we thought we had it, and we're still kind of getting over the shock of realizing that we actually live in a world where God has to restrain evil, because if the devil were given his way, we would not be allowed to be Christians. So Luther, I think, here is overstating it a little bit, because and now there's a sense in which this world is a precursor of hell. There's a sense of, in that. But we don't want to understand it in such a way that we say, well, God is just not acting in the world. The world is just going its own way. It's just following its own course, unrestrained evil. That is not true. Scripture clearly teaches, and Luther affirmed also, that God is actively restraining evil.
Could the listener be referring to like Romans 1:28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done?
Absolutely. And we've always seen that, but now we're seeing it in a context where it's thrown in our face every day through social media, through the general media. And we Christians are having this sense that we are now being actively, hostily fought against, not only our ideas, but ourselves, in a society that used to kind of make us feel at home.
Here's an email regarding our recent interview with Pastor Paul Dare on cultural Marxism. Pastor Paul Dare is spot on. I applied to a major university last week. My qualification garnered an immediate response, but all was halted when they discovered that I did not write a diversity statement. I was stymied as to what that was. I did a little research and found that it was basically an apology for being a white male. I wrote a page worth of equality and being fearfully and wonderfully made, and judge not by the color of their skin. It worked until the actual interview. The entire interview was based on my, quote, racism, end quote. Nothing about my accomplishments in life, but my lack of being woke. Not how would you teach or manage. I wish Pastor Dare had been on 2 days earlier. I probably would have ended their process much earlier. I truly doubt I will hear anything further from this university. I also spoke with a doctor at another major university, and she made mention of the impact the diversity statements are having at her school. Her comment was that they are doing just what they are accusing us of. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening.
Pastors, you guys really need to talk with your parishioners. I'm not saying every pastor lives in an ivory tower, but you must hear what your parishioners are going through, and you need to address this. This is the very reason why we did the interview with Paul Dare, and the very reason why he wrote the Bible study that we based the interview on for his people, because he started talking to his people and realizing that cultural Marxism was in their workplace, and it was affecting their livelihood. It was affecting whether or not they might be able to keep their job. They were being forced, as Margot Cleveland said a little earlier today, they're being forced to say things that they know and believe are not true in order to keep their jobs. Pastors, your people are being forced to lie. They're being forced to lie. As they bear the name of God, they're being forced to lie to keep their jobs. And pastors, you cannot say, well, everything's okay as long as they don't stop me, Mr. Pastor, from preaching the gospel. Everything is not okay, not for your people. This listener is just one person who's lost a job opportunity because he refused to lie. He refused to say something that he knows and believes is not true. And good for you. Confess the truth, even if it means that. That's part of your message to those people, but your people also need some assurance that their pastor has their back in this. Encouraging them to fight that good fight, sacrifice, bear that cross. So talk to your people. We'll be right back. can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. And we'll take your phone calls live as well, 1-877-623-MYIE. Let's go to Wisconsin, where Larry is on the line. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I'm wondering how come the LPR site or whatever, I listen on a computer in my shop pretty much all the time, and it used to have the crawl underneath that showed exactly what group or a choir or whatever was doing the music currently playing, and that's been missing, or I can't find it, I'm not sure which, since you redesigned the website. Wondering if that's ever coming back or too much trouble or what.
Hey, Larry, quick question. Do you listen at the issuesetc.org website where you can listen to talk or music, or do you listen at lutheranpublicradio.org?
At the Issues, Etc.
Yeah, go to lutheranpublicradio.org and try that. lutheranpublicradio.org. I'm looking at it right now. It says listen to LPR. You hit the play button, and it's something from Handel's Messiah, Behold the Lamb of God, playing right now by the Academy of Ancient Music. And if that doesn't work, just send an email or give us a call back, talkback at issuesetc.org, or call the office 618-223-8385. But try lutheranpublicradio.org, and that should work for you.
All right. Thank you much.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Happy to do it. Thank you very much, Larry, and thanks for listening in Wisconsin. So there's a difference between the two players, it appears, between the talk and music player and the only music player.
Well, if you go to issuesetc.org, there's just a thing at the top that says music or talk. And if you click music, it's going to play right from the Issues, Etc. page, not the Lutheran Public Radio.
So it's not getting the metadata from the stream the way the other player at LPR, at lutheranpublicradio.org, is getting it.
Correct.
All right.
John.
Good to know.
Clinton Township, Michigan. Enjoyed Pastor Wolf Miller and his biblical explanation of baptism. Jesus is the one doing it. Excellent. He says,
that's the best point I think that Pastor Wolf Miller made in the course of that What I Wish My Lutheran Family Members Knew About Baptism segment. Because the minute you, as I said at the end of that program, when you realize that baptism is God's work, not man's work, that God is doing the doing in baptism, when you realize that, all the other objections to baptism fall away because it's God's work, it's not man's work. All the other objections to infant baptism fall away because if God baptizes every Christian and makes every child for himself through baptism, if that's what he's doing, he can do it for anyone, including infants. It's the objections to baptismal regeneration falls away. Then suddenly you can see that when Paul is talking about baptism being a washing and a renewal and all those things, that it's a way that God crucifies us with Christ and then raises us again with Christ, all that becomes possible when you realize baptism isn't some sort of work that you do for God, but it's a work that God does for and in you. So it's a great point, and it really kind of sweeps away all the other objections.
Dan, Washington State. You guys crack me up. Your banter over coffee, it's hilarious. Keep up the great work.
Some people have a low threshold of humor. You know what I mean? To me, it seems, well, just like, as we often say, inane banter, mindless banter. But thank you. I'm glad we're amusing you.
There. Hey, something quick. I reached out to my brother. I figured if anybody knew what a paladin was, it would be him. He says it's a knight from the olden days when they had knights. But I guess a knight that holds themselves to a higher ethical and moral standard. So
there okay.
you go.
Well,
wow.
So paladin. A paladin of Lutheranism.
I'd like to see somebody like a graphic designer take a picture of your head in the paladin appropriate attire.
No, there are people more qualified as paladins of Lutheranism. The late Paul McCain. Let's call him the paladin of Lutheranism.
Paladin Paul.
Yeah. So yes, that I'm comfortable with. Graphic designers don't mess with me.
The voice that you just heard was half-calf Craig Feichninger. Now, I've brought this up before about Craig. There is no other male I've ever met that is more conscientious about other men than Craig. Whether it be their hair, their decor. But this was a new one this week. I want to know if you've ever asked a fellow man this. Hey, what's that cologne you're wearing? Craig literally asked me, what is the cologne that I'm wearing? First of all, I said, I don't know. My wife buys me cologne every Christmas. I can't even tell you. But I was bewildered, bemused, befuddled at a fellow man asking me about my cologne.
Well, he notices the little things. That's Craig. He notices the little things.
Well, since you brought it up,
I'll wear the same shirt 2 days in a row just to see.
And he will call you out on it.
It's a test just to see if he notices.
Well, look, the reason why I asked is because it smelled very familiar. I think I have the same thing at home. And now you asked me what the name of the cologne was. I couldn't tell you either, but I was, that smelled really familiar. And I thought, I probably have the same thing at home in my cabinet as well. So that's all. So
he's got a reason. Just like mixing the decaf with the caffeinate. He has a reason.
I didn't even notice anybody around here wears cologne. I don't do it because I can't, even if it was something I really liked the smell of, by the time the day is over, I am sick of it. So I haven't worn cologne for years and years.
In your more than 5 decades of earthly existence, have you ever asked a fellow man, hey, what's the cologne you're wearing? Or has a man ever inquired to you about the cologne that you're wearing?
No.
I think that's happened to me before.
I might have asked my twin brother, but he wears this, back in the day, he used to wear this Bay rum, and it's actually smells like spiced rum. It smells like Captain Morgan. But he used to wear it, and it was...
So you thought he was drinking.
Yeah. I was trying in a nice way to say, hey,
Hey, we missed out on the last one with Coffee Gate. We better hop on this one. Cologne Gate.
Yeah, Cologne Gate. Yeah,
I think I might have asked my twin brother, what is that smell? But now he just smells like incense, so...
Tomorrow, brand new show, and I can rest assured there will not be 1 hour of listener email and comment line.
All right, Friday on Issues Etc. We're going to continue our series on culture. Well, we're going to start a series on cultural Marxism with Pastor Paul Dare, and it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We will also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.